It's hashtag Dear Vendor, and we want to hear from you. Give your thoughts as higher eds, and maybe all your dreams will come true. Here's Scott Tyler.
Hello, and welcome to Dear Vendor, a podcast dedicated to giving AV professionals that work in higher ed an opportunity to be heard by those who provide us our tools, the manufacturers, integrators, and software vendors of the AV industry. Today, we welcome Don Merritt from the University of Central Florida. Don, that's all the talking I'm going to do because we really want to hear from you. Let's start by having you tell us about you, where you work, and your school.
Sure, Scott, and thanks for having me. Again, my name is Don Merritt. I am the director of the Office of Instructional Resources here at the University of Central Florida. For those of you who aren't familiar with UCF, we are in Orlando, and we're a fairly big school. We've got just under 72,000 students enrollment, graduate and undergraduate. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of space that goes along with that. We've got campuses scattered all throughout Central Florida. So number of spaces supported is a little over 800 integrated rooms at all of those campuses. Our office is the AV integrator for the university. So we have worked on most of those rooms over the years. My staff is made up of both full-time and part-time folks, including a lot of students. So the number tends to flex a little bit. We're usually around 35 people or so every year. But again, you know, with students coming and going, it flexes a bit. We're an R1 university. We're a public PhD granting university. So we've got a lot going on here on campus with all kinds of different programs and responsibilities and different kinds of labs and things that we help support everywhere too.
Wow. So that I just learned a whole lot about UCF. So you said 800 spaces around all your different campuses. And did I hear you say you're the integrator for them all?
We're the integrator for the university, yes. Yeah, and 800, that includes conference rooms and collaboration rooms and things like that. So those are not all, you know, really sophisticated rooms. But if something happens in those rooms, even if it's somewhere out on the coast, we're the ones who usually get the call for it.
Wow. So when you use the term integrator, does that mean, what does that mean? Design, install, everything?
Soup to nuts. We start from idea to working with the end users on creating the whole project. We've got project managers. We do design. We then do procurement, installation, commissioning, training, and then support after the fact.
Wow, that's a lot of work. Do you use external integrators for anything?
Yeah, occasionally we do. I mean, just with the workload that we have, sometimes we can't. I mean, you know how it is. It's a university. Classes have to happen, and sometimes you can't move a classroom or, you know, another project comes up and we need to focus on classrooms. So we'll bring someone in to work on specialized projects where we don't have a lot of familiarity with whatever it is that's being put in, or just to build out the hands that we need to get the work done.
Yeah, for sure. Certainly understand that. So Don, what are you putting most of your time into today?
So that's a good question. We just finished a really big project, actually right before the pandemic, building a new campus in downtown Orlando. That was two new construction and one building being renovated all at the same site. So there were dozens of rooms involved with that. Things are quieting down right now, been a little quiet over the past year. So we're kind of taking the chance to get caught up on projects that we couldn't complete for whatever reason over the past year, but also kind of looking in-house at some of our processes, lessons learned from the downtown project, really kind of trying to refine our processes a bit. We are, you know, we consider ourselves an integrator, but we don't exactly work like a lot of the external integrators would, just being working within the university system. So trying to match a little of the best practices outside while staying consistent with new leadership here trying to make sure we keep things running as smoothly as possible.
And we chatted a little bit before we started the recording. And I think you had said that most of your students have been remote during COVID. Is that accurate?
That's true. The majority of our students have been remote, but UCF does a lot of online learning in the first place. So it has not been as difficult for us, I think, as it has been for some other schools. We did start coming back with face-to-face classes last fall. And as part of that, you can imagine, you know, there's still some remote requirements for all of that. So we went out and equipped probably around 300 or so rooms at several campuses with some microphones and really just webcams. We kept it low tech because one, it's hard to source anything higher tech than that. And two, at the volume we needed to work at, there was no way we were going to do full installs of cameras and microphones, you know, PTZ cameras and everything else in these spaces. So we came up with a solution that would allow the faculty in the classroom to still be able to connect to students outside of the classroom with Zoom or Teams or whatever it was they were using, and allow us to continue to be able to support it too.
Okay. So is that because you find faculty are coming to the classroom to do instruction, even if the students aren't there?
In some cases, yes, but in other cases, it was a mix of the two. So we called our solution BlendFlex, which is kind of a variation on HyFlex, if any of you all are familiar with that. That's where the faculty member and some students may be in the room, and then they have the option of rotating those students out throughout the week. So say it's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday class, you've got one group of students on Monday, one group on Wednesday, one group on Friday, and they're only face-to-face once a week, but the faculty member is there the whole time. When they're not there, they're either watching a recording of what's going on in the classroom or they're watching it live. And so we kind of left that up to the faculty as to which approach they wanted to take with that. Some of them, most of them are recording all of their lectures, and then students have the chance to watch it afterwards. That's really changed the way people think about recording in the classroom around here. For as much online learning as we do at UCF, we were not big on video instruction. So we didn't have a lot of cameras already built into our classrooms. But, you know, after all of this, and the feedback we're getting from the faculty and the students, they really like this approach. And so the university-wide, we're working on a way to incorporate more audio video recording in all of our classrooms just going forward. So, PTZ cameras, microphones, appropriate microphones in all these spaces are becoming part of our basic standard now.
It's amazing you say that, because even a small place like where I am, probably one of the biggest things that has come out of the pandemic is class capture. And yeah, we had it in some rooms, mostly our STEM faculty, but other disciplines now know about it. Our students are really asking for it. And so we're in that same place of a camera, which used to go in the larger rooms, is pretty much going to become standard now.
I don't think we have a choice. The question is going to be, how do you execute on that? I mean, just given the variety of architectures we have here on campus, different room sizes, different use cases, we have to, especially because of our size, we have to find some sort of standard way of approaching it, but that also gives us flexibility to meet the needs depending on the space that we go into, right? I mean, we're going to be doing this in labs as well as lecture halls and small little conference rooms. It won't be one size fits all, but you've got to think in that direction so that you can scale up to the size that we need to scale up to.
Yeah, I hear you. It's interesting. And like you said, labs is something that we never would have put a camera and microphones in before. And yet we're getting there very quickly.
I think we're all going to find ourselves doing things we never thought we would do in the past, you know, but it's also kind of a fun time too. I mean, we're getting to think a little bit differently about not only how we're building the rooms, but what we're actually putting in them and sometimes what we're taking out of them. You know, I think this is a good opportunity for all of us, especially as we come back, more of us come back face to face, to talk about, all right, what do you really need in here? And make sure that we're including the students in that conversation too, because they tend to come and go more quickly than the faculty, but they're the ones who are getting the biggest benefit out of what we're doing in the rooms. We've got to make sure that we're incorporating their voices into these decisions too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we never like to say it in education, and most of our listeners, as we talked about, are going to be integrated manufacturers. So I won't get in trouble for saying this, but students are our customers.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's always a, that's a loaded term, but they are the ones who are getting the benefit of the work that we're doing.
Yeah.
One way or the other, whether you call that a customer or not, you really got to kind of keep that kind of mindset when you're working in these kinds of spaces.
Yeah. So you may have answered this by talking about in the conversation we just had, but what do you foresee as your biggest challenge over the next 6 months to a year?
Bringing people back on campus. I mean, for the most part, even though we've had some people here, the majority of folks who come back in the fall will have been gone so long that it's going to feel new to them. And for a significant number of them, it will be new to them, faculty and students. So it's an opportunity for us to reintroduce ourselves to these new people as they walk into our spaces, but also to listen to what they find when they walk into these new spaces. You're probably familiar with the term groupthink. You know, you work in a space, you talk about something over and over, and sometimes you lose the ability to see what you do from an outside perspective. We're about to get a heavy dose of outside perspective. And I got to make sure that we hear that feedback, but also that we incorporate it into what we do going forward. Because that, you know, it's a great reset in a lot of ways, resetting expectations, but also resetting some of our plans too. So we've got to make sure that what we've got in work continues to work, but we got to be ready to adapt as these people come back. Because who knows exactly what it's going to look like 2 years from now, what they've learned over the past year, the practices they've adopted over the past year. It's going to be a bit of a whirlwind. And I would like to see things settle a little bit before we do too much. But we've got to start listening as soon as they start talking.
Wow, it's an amazing perspective. And one of the things I was talking with somebody about earlier today is about, I think it's a similar thing to what you're saying, just a slightly different tangent about programming. And as we add more and more equipment into rooms,
yeah,
we have to be really careful that the programming doesn't, that the user interface doesn't get more complicated. The programming obviously will get more complicated, yeah, but that the user interface doesn't. Faculty are going to want to do a lot more in a room, but they're not going to want it to be a lot more complicated.
Well, some of the challenge too there though is, do you really need to add more equipment to the room to accomplish what they're trying to do? Or do you just need to add different equipment to the room? So we're taking a look at wireless collaboration across campus, really trying to move away from all the connectors and dongles that we've got everywhere and find a solution so that wherever you go, whatever device you got, you can connect to the system in the room. You don't have to worry about the connectors and everything else. And we're trying to make it as mobile as possible too. That I think is a bigger redesign question and conversation and really kind of user engagement exercise too. You got to make sure that whatever you set up is going to work for the majority of people, or you're wasting your time. But those are the sorts of things we want to do too. Good design isn't always adding new things. Good design is often removing things, but just being really judicious about whatever you add or remove, you're not negatively impacting that user experience.
Wow, it's a lot to think about right there, keeping us busy. Whether it's what you're looking at in the next 6 months or a year, what your years of experience in the industry has told you, what are ways that integrators or manufacturers could help you? Are there products out there that you really need that don't exist, or services that you really need or don't exist, or training? What is it that they could do for us?
Training is always at the top of our list. I mean, especially with the kind of environment we're in, we need to make sure our folks are as up to date as possible. The relationships that we have are usually built around those that have great training programs. I don't have time. We can't have a classroom go down. As big as we are, we actually don't have enough classroom space. So we can't just move a class to a different room if the equipment doesn't work. There's no room to move them to. So it is absolutely essential that my team know how to get stuff back up and running as quickly as possible, which means we've got to have a good relationship with the manufacturer as well to make sure that when we run into issues, it's not going to be a prolonged period of getting this resolved. So training can go a long ways towards helping that, but having that good relationship is really important too. One of the things I would ask pretty much everyone at this point is, let's not jump into the new stuff too quickly, because we've got an opportunity here to really let AV shine. But if we throw things people don't like or can't figure out or won't use into the mix right away, we're going to lose some of our credibility. So let's make sure that we're taking a little bit of time, being very judicious about what we're doing, and really listening to and watching how people use this stuff before we make some blanket decisions that we might regret later. I'm all for the new stuff out there. And I really do think that the next few years are going to see a lot of new devices, a lot of new use cases, a lot of new concepts come into these learning spaces, especially. But I don't want to shoot myself in the foot by putting something that's not baked yet into a space where they're not even interested in turning the oven on. You know what I mean?
I think that's very important. So I do think one of the kind of ways we learn best is by positive feedback and examples. Do you have any stories of a vendor of any sort that you've worked with has done something really well and has lasted impact on your team, on you, on the services you provide?
Yeah, we've got a great relationship with Crestron. We've got Crestron programmers on staff. The training opportunities they have, the relationships, the individual relationships we've built, not just with the trainers, but with the support folks, with our local rep. Those are really important to me. Crestron's a huge vendor on campus, and you know, that kind of relationship, that kind of uptime is essential to what we do. I can say similar things about Sony. We're standardized on their projectors and flat screens. Their engineers have worked with us on using their devices differently in our downtown campus. Really turning them into, you know, just not the dark black screens you see, but basically becoming almost digital signage opportunities for us downtown, especially in some of the really public spaces. And that's something we wouldn't have done before if we hadn't had the opportunity to work through with them. But even just little things like Revo Labs, we've got a lot of Revo mics on campus, but there was an issue with some antennas in some of our mics, and it was important enough for them to come down and actually work with us on site to figure out what the problem we were running into was. Those are the kinds of relationships that I really, really value. Again, because of our scale and the required uptime that we have, I need to know that who we're working with is someone who is going to be there, not just when you make the sale, but 2-3 years down the road to make sure, you know, that you make the next sale, but also so that we don't regret that last one that we made too.
So that's really interesting, because if you talk about Crestron or Sony, they're huge names in the industry, well known about their training and support programs. But Revo Labs is an interesting one to hear about. And what kind of research do you do into a manufacturer to make sure they're going to be that kind of support that you need?
So one thing we do is ask around. We talk to a lot of our peers. I mean, we're members of a lot of different organizations, CCUNC, Educause. We go to Infocom all the time. So we talk to a lot of people about what they're using, what's working well for them. But we will also get test devices in. You know, we'll buy one or two of them, try to put them in a space where we can really put them through their paces. We have a room that we were just able to build out a few years ago called the Sandbox. And that's the purpose of that space, is to take some of this new tech, put it into a room that's actually being used as a classroom. But the deal is that the faculty that are scheduled in there have gone through some training with our faculty center, and they know they are in a test environment. So part of the responsibility, or part of the agreement, is when they're in that room, they know things can fail, and they need to be okay with that. But when it works well, we really need to know that too. And that's given us some great, great feedback, not just on technology, but on some of the other things that go into a learning space too. Furniture, you know, that's something that we deal with. Even the some of the wall coverings and things like that. Like it has been a fun space, but we will put things through their paces. My favorite story, this was probably almost 10 years ago at this point. We were looking at AV over wireless. And there was, I don't remember what the device was. I honestly don't. But we had set it up in one of our spaces and let it run for a week and under the same conditions that it would have run in a classroom. And it had partially melted by the end of the week. So we're like, this is probably not going to work in our situation. So we're going to look at some other solutions. but we will try to test it out as much as possible for reasons like that. We can't afford the failures.
Right. Yeah. There's no doubt. There's no downtime in schools. And I think we're all in that same place of, don't we wish we had 10 extra classrooms we could just send somebody to when one classroom stopped working.
Yeah, well, we had a small fire in a building on campus a few years ago, and we, you know, couldn't use the building for about a week. So a lot of folks went online or, you know, met in some other option. That's one of the things this past year has taught us, though, is that we now know we have options whenever something comes up. So in some ways, I'd like to think that it's going to take a little bit of the heat off of us, but in the other ways, when they come back into those rooms, they're going to expect them to be top notch too.
Right, right. Well, Don, I thank you for your time. This has been actually a fascinating conversation. And I always love it when not just our listeners can learn something, but I learned something as well. And I learned a lot here today. So thank you.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I've got a great team here. We've got a great team. And I always like to brag about them whenever I get the chance. So thank you for the opportunity to do that.
Awesome. Thank you. Ray,
Ray, Ray. It's hashtag Dear Vendor, and we want to hear from you. Give your thoughts as higher ed, so maybe all your dreams will come true. Here's Scott Todd.